Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Romans 3:23, Paul tells us that all accountable people have sinned. And since all people have sinned, all people need the gospel. And that's because the gospel is God's power to save, Paul says in Romans 1:16. We're going to focus our attention this evening on some basic things that I need to be doing, some basic things that we need to be doing in order to get the gospel message to a lost world, because I believe it is the unshiftable responsibility of the saved to do this work. We just read Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. I'll read it again. "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you." Jesus commanded them to go and make disciples, and then to teach those disciples to do all the things that he commanded them. That would include what? Go make disciples and then teach them to do what I've commanded you, which would include go make disciples. And so we have an obligation to speak the gospel. We must speak it because of what we know. And one of the things we know is the value of a soul. Matthew 16, verse 26, Jesus said, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" We must speak it because if we have valuable information that other people need, we have a responsibility to share that information. We must speak it because we know the consequences of sin. And there are terrible consequences to sin, even here and now. But the most terrible consequence is the eternal separation from God. We must speak it because the sinner needs to know that the truth will make you free. John 8:32. The sinner needs to know that the gospel is God's power to salvation. Romans 1:16. The sinner needs to know that the word of God is able to save your souls. James 1:21. In humility receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. The sinner needs to know that anyone can be transformed by the gospel. Romans 12 verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We must speak it because it is the work, it is the responsibility of the faithful to make it known. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, "The things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful people," because that's what the word there means, to faithful saints, to faithful Christians, who will be able to teach others also. God never intended for there to be some committee, some organization that focuses its attention on teaching the lost while the majority of his people idly sit by having given at the office. We may, in fact, be the only people who can speak to, who can take the truth to certain individuals that we encounter in our lives. You will know people that perhaps no other Christian will ever know. What if we don't speak to those people about Christ? What if we don't talk to them about the truth? We must speak it plainly. Paul said in Ephesians 3, verses 8 and 9, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God." 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." We need to speak it plainly because it must be understood. If it's not understood, it simply cannot be believed or obeyed. How can you believe something that you don't understand? How can you obey something that you don't understand? Talking about the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul talked about the benefit of speaking plainly instead of speaking in a foreign language. He said, "Unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken?" I don't mean to be critical. I certainly have my own flaws and lots of them. But on occasions I've heard individuals talking to other individuals or teaching in such a way that they're maybe dealing with a touchy subject or a subject that needs to really be addressed. And maybe they deal with it in such general terms or talk about it in such broad ways that when they're finished, nobody really gets the point. And I've probably done that myself at times. But I'm aware of the fact that it is possible to speak so plainly that you're offensive. But we do need to temper that with love, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. The Bible's plain about that. But we do need to speak plainly enough that we might say we cannot be misunderstood. There's no use in talking about something if the point is not made clearly enough that they know what we've just said and what's expected of them and what the scriptures demand of them. We must speak it plainly because power lies in the truth and not in man's persuasive words, not in man's embellishments, not in man's efforts to soft coat it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The gospel needs to be spoken plainly. It needs to be spoken in simplicity. We need to speak it to all. The Great Commission shows that it's God's will that all people be informed about the gospel message. Again, go make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16. Not just people of a particular race or ethnicity, not just people of a particular economic class or academic level. We're to speak it to all. And in speaking it to all, we must not waste time in being soil experts or soil analyzers. Parable of the sower. The sower casts the seed freely upon all types of soils. He didn't place judgments on it. In our efforts sometimes to try to determine who has a good and honest heart, we find ourselves making such judgments, and we have no business doing so. We need to teach it to anybody who's willing to listen. We need to leave the results to God. Whoever has a soul needs to hear the gospel. That's really how simple it is. And as we talked about a moment ago, we need to speak it in love. Paul talks about speaking the truth in love in Ephesians 4, verse 15. We must try to keep from second-guessing people. We must be sure to give the benefit of the doubt, realizing that my judgment is not infallible. And I learn that more all the time. Love is kind. Love suffers long, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Teachers of truth, those who try to teach others the word, will sometimes be required to suffer long with prejudice, with ignorance, with bad attitudes. Are you not sometimes prejudiced, ignorant? Do you not sometimes have a bad attitude? I am sometimes prejudiced, ignorant, and sometimes have a bad attitude. I'm guilty of all three, and I want people to be patient with me and my flaws, and so I need to be patient with others and their flaws as well. It's too easy to have an I gave at the office mentality. It's too easy to think that it's somebody else's responsibility or that somebody else can do better than I can do. It's likely somebody else can do better than I can do. It's likely somebody else can do better than you can do, but that does not remove our responsibility to do what we can. It's highly unlikely that, again, anybody else will have the same opportunities that you have. I'm not saying every Christian has a responsibility to become a bona fide personal worker, whatever that may be, but everybody can start a conversation. Anybody here can't start a conversation? I think everybody can start a conversation about the Bible, about Christ, about some religious matter. We seem often quite capable of starting conversations on other topics. If you're able to get someone interested in a study and you don't feel comfortable pursuing that further, you can pass it off to somebody else. I know Steve will be glad to do so. I'll be glad to do so. Lots of others would be glad to do so. Do we pray for opportunities to talk to people? Do we look for opportunities to talk to people? I'm talking to myself too. I don't mean to be standing up here pointing the finger at everybody else. Do I pray for opportunities to talk to people? Do I look for opportunities to talk to people? It's not likely we will find opportunities to do so if we're not looking for them. I certainly don't set myself up as the epitome of personal workers, as somebody that everybody else ought to seek to emulate. I've made lots of mistakes in trying to teach others. I usually have what I think at the moment is a good reason for what I'm doing, and I have good intentions, but I've made plenty of mistakes. But God can accomplish a lot through us in spite of our foolishness, in spite of our flaws, in spite of our weaknesses. Remember a guy named Jonah? I'd like to read Jonah chapter 3 and chapter 4, the first three verses. This is after Jonah had made his little effort to run away from God, and then he finally decided to submit himself. Chapter 3 begins, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you.' Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in ashes. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Verse 10 says, When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Did that through Jonah. And if you don't recall the attitude that Jonah had, look at the next three verses, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That's what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew you were a gracious God and a compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." If God can accomplish that through someone like Jonah, think of what he could do through you and me.